You're listening to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because having a career in development is about more than the code you write. This is episode 7 of season 3. If you're a new listener, welcome to your first episode. If you want to get caught up on any of the previous episodes, they can all be found at developingup.com. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back to listening to another episode. This is episode 46 of the whole series, which means the show notes for this episode can be found at developingup.com/46. Now, today's episode, I talked with Angie Jones. She is a senior developer advocate who specializes in test automation strategies and techniques. And what we talk about today is actually something that I think all developers learn or experience in their career, and I hope at least I hope so. And it's about code reviews and how to have them successfully and be beneficial to yourself and your team. I thought Angie was a perfect person to reach out for this subject because she has an excellent article out there called The 10 Commandments of Navigating Code Reviews, which obviously I am linking to in the show notes for this episode. Again, those show notes will be available at developingup.com/46. So Angie and I talk about code reviews, what it means, how teams can do it effectively, and how it benefits every developer out there. So without further ado, here's me talking with Angie. Angie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Why don't we start out? You just tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your history in development.
I am a software developer specializing in test automation. I've done it for a number of companies for a number of years. Some of your favorite companies, Twitter, IBM, etc. Now I'm doing developer advocacy. So helping developers do testing better.
Developer advocates are a crucial part of the development sphere. I've met a number of them, and they all seem to be those great outgoing people who just really help developers get out of their shells and communicate.
And just help them learn how to be more efficient, whether it be with tools or different APIs or just processes like code reviews.
Yeah. So I imagine with your history and the groups you've worked with and with your different roles, I mean, code reviews have come up a number of times, I would assume.
Yes. So pretty much most of the teams that I've worked on, I've been fortunate enough that they were mature enough to actually do code reviews.
What would you define as a code review?
Code review is where your peers, when I say peers, it could be junior to you or senior to you, but other members of the development team have a look at what you've written before it's integrated into the code base, and they provide feedback on that.
Asking for feedback from other developers on your team or, you know, in your development community, if it's, say, open source, there's a lot of different feedback you receive. So what would you say is the ultimate goal of a code review and getting that feedback?
To ensure that everyone is aware and content with what it is that you're contributing to the code base. So what is not is a nitpicking session or an opportunity to bash your least favorite developer. But ultimately, let's review what's going in the code base and let's see if this is the most optimal approach, if there's a more efficient way to do this, if it looks great, whatever that feedback may be.
So it's about making sure that what everyone is building is, you know, serving the purpose of what you're trying to accomplish. It's delivering the value that you want in a way that makes sense for the project overall. It's not about an individual person showing off, you know, their how creative they are with in their development or to tell
coding muscles.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about what's best for the project and making sure everyone's working towards that goal.
It's another avenue for early feedback, right? So even earlier than actually putting this in like a CI build and having tests run against it, you can have another set of eyes on the code before it gets to that point and make sure, like you said, one, that it even meets the requirement, right? So a lot of times people will check in stuff and they might miss something. They might miss something that the requirement stated, or they may miss some of the testing. So this is really like a early form of testing as well. So let's make sure the requirements met. I encourage developers to even review the unit test just as closely as reviewing the implementation of the feature itself. So make sure all the cases were met. Were there any edge cases that you can think of that weren't covered by this implementation? So this is a great way to provide that feedback.
For a team that's been working together for a long time, it can get down to a code review, comes down to looking in the syntax and just seeing if there's any glaring errors, which that is important to catch. But with the things you're bringing up, reading the ticket that explains what's supposed to be done, checking the unit tests, those are things I think often get missed by a team that gets kind of relaxed with each other.
Yep.
And you start using code reviews as just a, you know, syntax review, and then it's good to go. So it's not just the job of the person writing the code, but there's a lot of responsibility on the person or the people reviewing the code.
I see sometimes developers will kind of just like skim through a code review, like, oh, yep, all the syntax looks right, and, you know, yep, it's in the right class and in the right package kind of thing. And that's a really shallow review, I would say. The best code reviews are the ones that take a moment, like you block out time for this. So when reviewing codes, I make this a part of my daily routine, you know. So I come in the morning. Is there anything in the queue that needs to be reviewed? And it's not something I'm just glancing over while I drink a cup of coffee. You know, it's actually a development activity. So whatever it is, I pull out, where's the requirement? That might be a JIRA ticket, that might be a spec or a doc, whatever that is. Pull that out and understand what the feature is, and then look at the implementation. Does that implement that feature? And then you can then look for things like style and syntax. Hopefully you're using a linter or something that'll catch a lot of that kind of low-level stuff so that you're reviewing it at a much more sophisticated level. So looking, okay, is this the most optimal approach? Is this the most efficient way to do this? Is this level of abstraction even correct, right? So this could be something that's useful beyond the limited scope at which it was developed. So you'll have developers kind of thinking inside of the box as they're implementing things. And we've all been guilty of that. You're just trying to implement this feature and you're not thinking at a much broader level. I feel like whoever's reviewing the code has that opportunity to think at that broader level and look at this and say, okay, this is really neat what you've done here. This could also be a utility method, so we can put this at a higher level of abstraction so that other parts of the code base can utilize this as well. And then, like I said, early form of testing. So looking at the test, seeing that all the cases that you've thought of are actually caught here. Are there any edge cases missing? So there's lots and lots of things that you can do to contribute.
I never even thought of doing this, and I think this is just amazing mindset, is that you make it part of your routine where you're dedicated to doing this. It's not those one-off in between. That's just, I'm going to start using that tomorrow. That is great. What I got from that is that it puts you in this different mindset, like you just said, that it's a development task. It's not just an extra thing you have to do. It is a beneficial thing you have to do. Where you were saying it's your chance as a reviewer to look at it and see, is there, you know, a more abstract way or something where it could be, you know, extended to be utilized in other pieces of the project you're working on. I see that as a benefit and an opportunity for developers of any skill set, from junior to senior, especially, you know, for junior, I'd say, because if you are the person who's just given the low level task and you're stuck in your little tasks, when you're the code reviewer, it's your chance to put on those different shoes, to step back and be almost like, you know, the technical architect for that little piece and think more broadly at the whole project, which I agree, developers, we tend to look at the, you know, trees through the, what's that phrase? The trees for the forest, whatever it is.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
That's it.
It's really easy to fall in that trap because you were looking at this one feature. You weren't worried about the entire code base. And so to have someone else to be able to review it from that mindset where they're not kind of entwined into this one feature, they can look at this a little bit more broadly. as well. So yeah, it's a great opportunity. And like you say, you don't have to be an architect level to see those types of things. You could be junior level and say, hey, this is really cool. Actually, we have another feature coming up pretty soon, or there's some other features we've written that kind of do the same thing, but not this well. We could use this instead.
And then providing that information, like, let's say if you're a junior developer and you, you provide that info, what you're suggesting to the code review isn't a good way to do it. That just opens a communication channel with the senior developer to come back and explain their decision. So you learn about that. Or if you're a senior developer.
So much from senior developers, I always encourage them. This is a form of mentoring without having an official like mentorship relationship, right? So when we think of mentoring, this feels like such the obligation, like, oh, I have to set separate meetings up and I have to learn, you know, what's your career goals and all of this, right? This is a more subtle form of mentorship that is just as powerful. So I always encourage anyone who's leaving code review comments to don't just say, hey, change this to do it this way. This is your opportunity to say, hey, here's another approach, and here are my thoughts behind that. So you're exposing people who may be more junior than you are to your thought process without having a whole class, you know what I mean? Or set up a separate meeting to discuss the ins and outs of programming and architecture and things like that. So little by little, you're giving them insights into how you think. And they're able to take that. And once they get that information, they learn a lot quicker. Because it's one thing to learn about syntax or implementation styles and, you know, design and all of this. But when you start learning the reasoning and rationale behind decisions, then you're able to retain that a lot better.
So they're like micro mentorships.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's what I would do when we had like new college hires or, you know, more junior programmers. I would make sure to spend a little bit of extra time on their code reviews because I wanted to be really detailed in my feedback to them.
With feedback and giving that level of detail, it can be hard to communicate correctly or, you know, communicate in a way that's beneficial. Do you have any recommendations from your experience on how to give that feedback so it comes across as helpful and maybe not, you know, condescending?
Taking the time out and switching your mindset that I talked about earlier, that really helps with this because it puts you in that zone. You don't feel rushed. You're not giving just like harsh feedback. You have a moment to really like think through what you're saying. And I'm not the very best at sugarcoating stuff, right? But I can say things in a way that's not harsh or abrupt. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be littered with like emojis and unicorns and rainbows. But you can say things in a way expressing your rationale softens things a whole lot. So instead of saying, why did you do this like this? This is stupid. Change it to this, right? You can say that in your head, like, why on earth would they do that? But a better approach to type this would be, and sometimes I ask questions, like, what was your thought process here? Mm-hmm. And give them the opportunity to explain so that I can see where it is that they have the gap. So a lot of times it's not that people are stupid. Sometimes they just really have no knowledge of a certain concept or they've made some assumptions about something. And in asking them, why did you develop it this way? Or, you know, what were you thinking here? In a nice way, you can get insight into their thought process and then help fill those gaps for them. You say, ah, okay, I see why you thought that. Here's the assumption you made. Here's why that's not true. And here's a better approach.
As long as your feedback is from the approach of being helpful and inquisitive versus hurtful and nitpicky. Like that's how you want to like self-evaluate your feedback.
Exactly. I think it serves no good to be nitpicky or hurtful. I've seen cases where, you know, I'm thinking like, who does this? Like no one goes into work and say, you know what? I'm about to hurt everybody's feelings up in here today. Like nobody does that, right? So I try to be empathetic to everyone and understand like what, where are they coming from as well. And I've had a senior developer who would just rip people apart in code reviews. And I sat with this person once to see like where they're coming from. Like, oh, what's going on with that code review you did? And gave them this opportunity to vent. And it came from a place of frustration. Like, oh, I keep telling them the same thing over and over again, and they keep making the same mistakes. So at that point, you know, you get a little, you know, you get a little upset and a little rough with your feedback. So I said, hey, you mind if I take this one off your hands? You know, I might take a different approach. And they were, oh, gladly. And, you know, went about it a different way, just okay. Like I said, providing that rationale makes all the difference in the world. The reason they kept repeating it is because they didn't understand what it was that the person was saying. And when the person said, just change this, they just changed it to get that person off their back. So if you don't understand why you changed that, then you won't understand not to make that same mistake again.
That was a great way to show that senior developer, you know, here's a better way to do this without talking negatively to them. So that helps that individual get better at performing code reviews, which then helps the people they're reviewing, and it benefits everybody and helps everyone get, you know, better at communicating what they're doing and why, which that's one of the number one benefits for developers and their teams of learning to do code reviews well. Is not just that you get to produce something that delivers the value you're trying to accomplish, but for the individual in their career, it's really a gateway to you getting better at communicating, you know, mm-hmm. tough concepts to other people and teaching other people.
So you get that part out of it. You also get to learn. So new ways to do things. The thing I love about programming is there's not just one right way to do it. Like it's such an art form to me. I used to teach Java at the college level, and I would have the students, you know, everybody gets the same homework assignment. And then I had 24 students in the course at a time, and everyone would submit a different implementation or different, you know, solution to the problem. And it was just fascinating to see how everyone can come up with an answer, but it be implemented in a different way. And it worked all those different ways. And so that's the beautiful thing about programming. And looking at other people's code reviews, you can get some of that. Like, wow, I didn't even know like that method existed. Or, you know, what's this you're using? And I find this from the junior folks a lot in looking at their code reviews. It's like, wait, what is this? I've never seen this before. And they say, yeah, Angie, this came in the new version of the language. And I'm like, wow, okay, I'm behind. but that's a great way to learn from other people, like, you know, other implementation styles and new ways to do things. So you get to learn new stuff, and then you also get awareness. So I encourage junior programmers a lot to get on code reviews. So this isn't something that's just a senior development activity. Even if you're a junior, you can look at other people's code reviews. Your peers who are junior, you can look at mid-level folks, senior level folks. One, you get so much street cred or dev cred if you're a junior person and you're able to contribute to, you know, a more senior person's code review, right? Not only that, you get so much awareness about what's going on in the code base. So you see all the different pieces that are being contributed. You get a peek into other commenters' thought process. So you start learning, even though this wasn't even your code review, right? You start seeing, oh, wow, that's how such and such thinks. Okay. And you're retaining all of this knowledge. You learn more about what's in the code base, what utilities are there, what pieces have been implemented. And so you can make use of those for future features that you have to develop as well. So it's not just a input, it's also some output in code reviews.
That's a great point to make. If you're the more senior developer on your team and you have junior developers, opening up the code reviews to them, because I've seen it with teams where all the code reviews have to go through the senior developers and the junior developers don't get to do it. But you know, you should change around your thinking if you have a team of junior developers and give give them the control to provide feedback, just for the reasons you just explained.
This is such a way to strengthen them. Back to that mentoring thing, like this is an expectation of senior developers. You're expected to mentor all of these people coming behind you. And you're like, okay, I don't have time to mentor anybody. Like I have features to develop. I have a family. I have all of these things that I need to do for myself. And this is a way to do that indirectly. And you can't imagine how much quicker you start building junior developers up if you provide them good code reviews.
Because if you build up those juniors, they're going to get better. And then you get better because how you have to learn how to explain things, how to share responsibilities, how to delegate tasks. And you're going to grow as a developer in that way.
Exactly.
Angie, this has been a great conversation. I know you have an article out there on the your 10 commandments of code reviews, which I'm going to link to in the show notes for this episode. But where can people find out more about you if they're inclined to?
I have a blog called angiejones.tech where I write and blog about development things, mostly test automation. I'm very active on Twitter at techgirl1908. Also, that blog post that Michael's referring to, the 10 commandments of navigating code reviews. Highly encourage you to check that out because it's a different view of what we talked about today. So a lot today we've talked about it from the reviewer's point of view. That blog post is from the submitter's point of view where I talk about 10 ways where you can navigate your code reviews where you're getting, you know, you have a harsh reviewer or the comments are brutal. How do you navigate that and still come out on top?
All right, Angie, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Take care.
And I want to thank Angie again for taking the time to talk with me about code reviews. I found it a very helpful conversation, something I learned some things that I actually have taken and applied to my own team since recording that conversation, and I found it to be very beneficial. If you want to know any more about Angie and how to reach out to her or read her article, The 10 Commandments of Navigating Code Reviews, I've linked to all that in the show notes for this episode, which are available at developingup.com/46. And remember that all episodes from every previous season are available on the website at developingup.com. So if you haven't listened to everything, go back and listen to it there. If you found today's episode helpful in any way, I would hope that you would share it with your developer peers and coworkers and friends by sending them a link to the episode, or better yet, sending them a link to the episode within one of your favorite podcasting apps and recommending that they subscribe to it. The podcast is available in all your favorite podcasting locations, podcasting apps, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, you name it, we're there. I hope that's how you found today's episode. I also hope that you would leave a review and a rating for this episode on your favorite podcasting app. That feedback helps myself get better at producing these episodes to know what people think of the topics. And it also helps other developers find our content so that they can apply it to their own careers. And if you want to keep up with any news for the podcast, Twitter is the best place to do that. You can find us on Twitter at DevUp Podcast or myself at MikeMiles86. Of course, I always welcome feedback and comments through good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com. So until next episode, I wish you happy developing.